It is my humble honor to be here with you today. And I want to thank Pastor Son and Dr. Oh for inviting me here today and allowing me to bring the Word of God. So, the big question. We had taxes. Who had to pay their taxes? Anyone pay taxes on Friday? Thank you for paying taxes. All of you other people are going to jail. Paying taxes is not my favorite. I don't like to pay the money. I want to get money. But we wonder sometimes as followers of Christ, what does it mean, all of these taxes? What does it mean, all of this church that we do? And how do they fit together? And I've been in church a long time. And some of you may have been Christians a long time and been in church a long time. And people say something called tithing. Have you ever heard of tithing? Tithing. Tithing means to give a portion of your money to God. And I want to straighten some things out. Maybe fix some questions that you have. But before we do that, you need to know who I am a little bit more. Last time I was here, I was so grateful to be here with the pastor and his wife, and I got to eat with you. Oh, I still am happy about this, yes. But here are some things about our family. We have four children born in four different countries. We were missionaries with International Mission Board. Now, one of the things that make us Baptist is we sing really well, right? Baptists love to sing. But what makes us the best Baptists is we tell people about Jesus. And so for 15 years, I got to tell people about Jesus around the world. And you, because you're part of Southern Baptists, because you are the Korean Baptist Church here, you give money, and that money helps pay my salary when I was a missionary. And now it also helps pay my salary. You help pay for me to go to churches and help them. You help pay for me so that I can help churches that have been hurt by pastors or by each other. And I also help to plant churches. So we're looking to plant more churches to help people to get the good news, to have hope for tomorrow. That's exciting. And you're a part of it. And you're a part of it because you do one thing. You give to God out of the blessings that he's given to you. That's tithing. And we'll talk a little bit more. And we'll look at the Bible and say, okay, God, what does this really mean? And I'm excited. And maybe God will say something to you that you didn't expect today. And there are some of you that are sitting here right now who are saying, uh-oh, Pastor Jeffrey's talking about money. And you turn off your brain. Some of you say, oh, the pastor always talks about money. Today, we're not talking about money. We're talking about worship. We're talking about God. And if you feel guilty, it's not my problem. Okay? This is for God. And when God talks to you, I encourage you to listen. And some of you will be surprised. Some of you will be really surprised. But at the end, I know that we are Korean Baptists. But at the end, I'm going to ask you, if God says something to you today, if God tells you something in your heart, as you think about it, to come up to me, to come up to a church leader and to say, this is what God has said to me today. It's important that you share it, that you say it, because maybe there's something God wants you to do today from the word that he's going to speak. So I'm excited about that. All right. I have a very hard time standing here. Is this I'm on film, so I may want to do this sometimes, but I'll try to stay right here, okay? So I need your help. And I've been preaching in African-American churches. And in African-American churches, there's lots of amens, lots of praise the Lords, and lots of wonderful feedback. So if you want to do that, Pastor Son isn't here. So you can do all those wonderful things. Okay? All right. Oh, I heard it. Good, good. It's a good start. Well, let me tell you just a quick story, and then we'll pray, and we'll get into the scripture. So when I was overseas, I worked among Muslims. And Muslims are a very difficult people group. But when God begins to work, it's exciting. He takes people who were over here, and he changes them completely to over here. He does that in our lives too, but in a Muslim, you can really see it because they have to pay for it. They have to say, I am no longer this, I am now this. And they lose their friends, they lose their jobs, they lose their families, the most important things to them. And they lose everything to come and be over here. And so, folks, this is amazing transformation. And I was a part of that. And we planted the first Baptist church among these Muslim people in Romania. The very first. And God did it. And God just amazingly changed people's lives. And we had about 20 people that were meeting together. Men meeting. Muslim men. Former Muslim men. And we were meeting together, And I came in, and I sat down with the pastor, and I said, okay, pastor, what do we need to do? It was a young guy, 24, 25 years old. His name is Salih Sabri. And he said, you know, Jeffrey, I really don't know how to take them forward to become a church. And I said, there are three things that are important for church. Three things. I would like to say singing was one of them, but it's not. Baptists, we love to sing, so that just happens out of our hearts. But one thing that was very important was we gather together. Coming together is really, 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 really important. Fellowshipping, worshiping, that's really important. And number two, missions is important. Baptism is important. The Lord's Supper is important. Those don't make you Christians, but they identify with something important. So one, worshiping together. Two, being baptized. And three, taking the Lord's Supper and doing some of these things in the church. But I said one of the most important things is tithing, is giving money every week. That when these men, would you give, you come together, and I know you don't have any money. I said this to them. I said, you don't have any money. I understand that. Well, let me tell you about the Philippian church. They didn't have any money. But they got together, and they gave the money, every week, just a little bit. And then they used it to help someone else. You see, that's what the church is all about. It's about taking this money and using it to help reach into the community, to show Christ's love, to change the whole direction of a community. And so they began to take a little bit of money every week. And after about 5 weeks, they said, oh, well, now we have some money. What do we do with it? The Spirit of God spoke to them and said, go buy wood for this person over here, this old woman who has no husband. Give her this wood because she needs it to heat her house or she will freeze. And so they took the money and they bought the wood, and all of a sudden the whole neighborhood knew about it. Everybody knew she got wood from the Christians. And then people's minds started to change and things started to happen. God orchestrates this as an act of worship, this giving. It's a critical part of being a church. Fellowshipping together, worshiping together, and giving. Giving is actually worship. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. But how exciting. What a great story. What does it mean to be a church? Fellowshipping together, doing what churches do, giving money. That's what church is. We're worshiping God in all of this. It's all about God. And so let's take a moment and pray. God, we pray that you would speak to us about this money that we have. You would tell us, God, in our hearts, what this money really is, whose this money really is. And God, that we are simply stewards. We simply are caretakers. We simply are people to watch over your assets, your finances, your things. God, help us to understand rightfully our place in your kingdom here on earth. We pray that we would understand that everything, everything, all of who we are is about you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you have a Bible, I would appreciate you open it up, or maybe it's up here. But we're talking about Matthew 22. So turn to Matthew 22. Some of you can do your phones. I usually ask people to hold them up to make sure that they have them. Anybody got something? You got it? Ready? Matthew 22. We're looking at verse 17. And it says, this is Jesus, by the way. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the taxes. Oh, my goodness sakes, I've got one. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass this around, but I have to get it back. Okay? This is important. Because on the front of this is a man named Julius Caesar. Okay? Julius Caesar has already been killed. He died in about 46 BC. And his son had been there. Well, his adopted son. His name was Octavian. He became known as Augustus Caesar. And after Augustus came another Caesar. But this is Julius Caesar. And so I'll pass it around, okay? But I have to get it back. And no changing it for a quarter or something. All right, so we're in verse 21. It says in verse 20, and Jesus said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, therefore render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And when they heard it, they were marveled and they left him and went away. And if you look at this coin, on the coin it says Caesar. So you'll find it fascinating. Feel free. You will get it sooner or later, God willing. And no one leaves here until I get it back. But the idea is, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Whose face is on that coin? Caesar's. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. He asked for this coin. He asked for this money. He asked for these taxes. Give it to him. Okay, today we're going to talk about two or three concepts for a healthy church. The first two are related to timely events like this season, taxes and Easter. We're liable to pay taxes to the one God put into government. And that government is the head over us. No matter what that government is like, God put it there. And I'll tell you something, folks. I'm an American. I look at the politics today and I say, oh, Lord, who are these people? What's going to happen to our country? How can we have these people as leaders? And my wife told me, Jeffrey, stop worrying, because God will put in place the man or the woman God wants in place. It's so hard. It's so hard. Because I don't want communism. I don't want crazyism. But we'll see. But we need to remember that God puts the leader in place. And so no matter how we feel about our government, Remember, the Jews, now if you want to put it in the first century, the Jews hated the Romans. I mean, hated them. And if Jesus had said, don't pay them, then the Romans would have taken him and strung him up. And if Jesus would have said, you know, you give to the Romans what they deserve, then they would have, the Jews would have strung him up. And so Jesus was in a rock and a hard place. But when he took out that coin and he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, nobody could say anything. It was fascinating. But today's takeaway, what I want you to do when you stand up out of your seats and you walk out of those doors, I want you to hear four things. One, our proper response to God is to give him what is his. Two, God loves a cheerful giver. Number three, a workman is worthy of his wages. Number four, tithing existed before the law was given to Moses. Wow, isn't that interesting? So why does tithing exist? It's a principle of humility. Oh my goodness, one of the best things about Asian culture is humility. The idea of humility. I bow in respect to you. I'm being respectful. Isn't that wonderful? In America, we don't know that. We got too many people who think basketball players are great, and they walk around and they're so cool. But that's not true. Humility. And let's start with this first verse. Let's render to Caesar's. What's the word render? I mean, Americans don't even know what that is, but it's apodidomai. That's the Greek word, apodidomai. And that means to give back or pay back which is rightly deserved, which a person deserves. And then, so we talk about Caesar. It's the government, the land that you're living in. That means America. So that's why, thank you for paying your taxes. And those of you who didn't, you know, you're in trouble, right? Let everyone, in Romans 13, 1. Now listen, normally when I preach, I don't bounce around with all these Bible verses. But we have to understand what the Bible says. So here's it is. In Romans 13, 1, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. We've already said this. The authorities that exist have been established by God. That's what the Bible says. So what do we owe Caesar? Whatever Caesar says. God put him there. Give it to him. Render to God. Render to Caesar. Render to God. Render to Caesar what's his. What is it? It's nothing. It's a piece of change, right? But render to God what is God's. In Romans 11:36, it says, From him and through him and to him are all things. Okay. This beautiful thing. Is this God's? Yes. Okay, we're starting here. Okay? This wonderful thing, is this God's? Yes. Okay. This thing right here, is this God's? Yes. Okay. You, are you God's? Yes. Everything is God's. Everything is God's. Some more beautiful than others. You have to understand that Caesar can have these little things, but God owns everything. When you turn your pockets inside out, when you go to your bank statement, whose is that? It's God's. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think, I have earned a PhD, and everything I earn from that PhD is mine. Well, I've got something sorry to tell you. It's not. First of all, your PhD is not yours. It's God's. You see, God gave you the brains to get that PhD. God gave you the family to help you to get that PhD. God gave you the hard work and the time to get that PhD. See, do you understand that it's not yours to begin with? And so stop being so proud. It is God's. And so everything about that PhD, every piece of work you put out, every writing you write, every assignment you perform, it's God's. And when you have that perspective, things get better. You do better work because it's God's. The results are better because they're God's. Now, when we start understanding that to him, for him, through him, it's all about God, wow. Well, we'll get to this, the tithing in just a minute. For in 1 Corinthians 4, 7, it says, "For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you did not receive?" Do you hear that? Why do you boast if you did not receive it? Okay, stop boasting. You didn't earn it. In Psalm 24, 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, in the world, and all who live in it is the world's." Every Korean is God's. Every American is God's. Every Chinese is God's. Every European is God's. Every African is God's. Every single person. Do you hear it? It's God's. He and she is God's. They are God's property. So you do good by raising your children right, by taking care of them, helping them to learn and earn. It's God's. Render to God what is God's. Give him back. So what is tithing? Because that becomes a little confusing. When someone says, "Hey, you tithe." Well, that means 10%, right? Is that what it means? 10%? I'm going to propose that you stop tithing. I'm going to propose right now that you stop tithing. And now, folks, some of you are saying, "Uh-oh, Jeffrey is going crazy." Let's see what happens. Because tithing in the Old Testament was generally food and animals. Have you tithed yet? Food and animals? Have you tithed to God? Oops. Have you tithed to God that first goat? Have you tithed to God your harvest? Well, you have to understand that during biblical times, life was agrarian, which means it was based on farming. And very few Jews lived in cities compared to the rest of them. And so most of the money came not in cash, but in what was grown. And you would take that and you would give part of it. But why? But why did they give part of it? Why did God institute tithing to the people? Well, because the priests and the Levites, they didn't own property. They didn't get to buy their house and live in their house. They were given it. And they lived there, and they could build it, and they could have a home, but they weren't to own stuff and have jobs. Why? Because it was to keep them from corruption and keep them relying on God. How easy is it, isn't it, to start doing your own business, to start working so that you don't rely on God? How easy is it to stop focusing for a Levite and a priest alike? You know, they could go get a lot more than what you bring in. And so it became hard for them. And many times the priests and the Levites would be found in different places and they had forgotten their place. But they were to receive the tithe so that they could serve for extended periods and not need to earn money to pay for stuff for their family. In Deuteronomy 26:12, it says, "When you have finished paying all the tithe of your increase in the third year, then you shall give it to the Levite, to the stranger, to the orphan, to the widow, that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied." Isn't that fascinating? So your tithe, did you notice he said tithe? And then he said third year. So what happened to the first 2 years? They didn't tithe the first 2 years. In the third year, when they got going and everything started to happen and the growth and the trees were blossoming and the harvest was working, it was the third year. Well, what about the first 2 years? Understand, folks, tithing was agrarian, and they didn't have enough to eat for their family, so they kept that first 3 years. The first 2 years they kept for their family, and they ate what was there, and it wasn't much. Understand, tithing, okay? And then look at it, went to the Levite first, and then to the stranger, and then to the orphan and the widow. Wow, isn't that interesting? So notice tithing was not the first 2 years, but the third year. Notice tithing wasn't just to the priests, but it was for the orphan. It was for the widow. It was for the stranger who didn't have a home. How are you doing, folks? Rank yourself right now. How are you doing? Are you keeping all your money? Are you helping the orphan, the widow, and the strangers? Think about that. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. This isn't what we're trying to do. But we're trying to see what God is saying. Okay, Numbers 18:21. To the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service, which they perform the service in the tent of meeting. In Deuteronomy 14:22, you shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes from the field every year. In Nehemiah 10:37, we will also bring the first of our dough. I kind of think that's funny because in America, sometimes we call money dough. Hey, you got some dough? And so that spoke to me. Bring the first of our dough, our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the new wine and the oil to the priests at the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithe of our ground to the Levites, for the Levites are they who receive the tithes in our rural towns. Okay, the tithe. It still keeps talking about it, but what does it mean? There's a big argument that comes out of people's mouths. A big argument. It says, hey, tithing is the Old Testament law. Tithing is from the Old Testament, and we are now the New Testament, and Jesus fulfills the law. Jesus has come to fulfill the law, and therefore we do not need to tithe. We are under the law of love. Okay, it's interesting. So if we love, what do? Keep thinking about that. And just by side note, tithing can be found in the stories of Abraham. Tithing can be found in the stories of Jacob. And if you remember, it's Jacob, Isaac. Well, no, it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. They go to Egypt. And then in Egypt, things happen. They become slaves. And then Moses takes them out. So this happens 400 years before. This happens 500 years before. There's tithing before the law. So obviously, tithing is not from the law. Okay, we have to separate the two. Remember, tithing was instituted before, and the tithing was instituted for the needs of the spiritual leaders of that day. So tithing, number one, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Boom, you did that, right? You paid your taxes. Two, give to God what is God's. Those are the two concepts you should be getting right now. What are God's? God's are a portion of what you have. What portion? Okay, what's portion? So if tithing isn't what we need to do today, what is it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says, each one must do as he or she has purposed in her or his heart, not grudgingly, not under compulsion. No one is pointing a gun to your head saying, you must give money to God. Not under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. Give what you got until you're not happy anymore. How about that? Give until you're no longer happy. First of all, God doesn't want you to give until you're poverty. God doesn't want you to give everything and feel bad about it. God wants you to give because you love him. I love you, God. Hey, here's some money so that the church can work. Hey, here's some money so that missions can work, so we can give the good news to people who are dying and going to hell. Why not? Here's a person who needs something. I wouldn't give him money, but I would give him food or something that you paid for. To love them, to show them Jesus. But it's a tithe. It's a new tithe. If we're really biblical, in fact, I did some research, right? If we're really biblical, in Acts 2:45, it says that we should sell everything and live together, helping one another. So, if you guys want to be first century, I'm selling everything and living with you. And you have to cook Korean food because that's what I want. All right? Does that sound fair? All of us will sell everything we have and live like the first century. That's one way to look at it. That is. But that's not really realistic, is it? So what can we do? Let's take a look at this for a second. I don't know if you've heard this, but Luke 11:42, it says, "Woe to you Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb. Yet you discard the justice and the love of God, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." Here's the thing with Pharisees. They like for other people to think they're super religious and really good. They like to be the ones to hold their money up before they put it into the offering. They like to make sure that, oh, you know, I gave to that. And God says, "Woe to you, Pharisees. Get out of my face. I don't need people that are worried about giving." And you don't come to church saying, "Oh, man, oh, I got to give to God because then God will love me. I got to give my money to God because then God will be happy with me." Listen, God loves you. You don't have to make him happy. God already loved you so much that he sent his only son. Do you hear that? God loves you. He doesn't need your money. It's already his anyway. Just got to get your brain right. Do you see that? He loves you. So now the question is, do you love him back enough to say, "God, it's all yours. This is all yours." But then you say, "Oh, well, I got to take care of my family. I got to have my 401k. I got to have a bank account. I got to go on vacation all the time. I got to make sure my kid has a child. I got to pay for his college. I'm making this account here." Hey, listen. Give to God first and then see what happens. I'm serious. I'm not going to make you any promises. I don't promise you that if you give to God, all of a sudden you're going to become rich. I'm not going to say that if you give to God, you're going to be healthy. You're going to have lots of kids. You're going to have a big house. I'm not saying that. If you give to God, though, when you worship, you are much more satisfied and God does bless you. I don't know what the blessing looks like in your family and in your life. That blessing may be very different than what the blessing is for me. But I can guarantee you in the Bible it says God blesses the cheerful giver. God blesses the giver. I don't know what that means to you. But don't say, "I have to give God 10% because that's what God deserves." God deserves a lot more than 10%. But God loves you so much. God loves you. Isn't that beautiful? He loves you. And everybody, you know, one of the greatest things that's come out of Korea is that student movement. I don't know, was it 15 years ago? 20 or 30,000 students committed to go be missionaries. Why did they do that? Because God loved them and they responded. When God loves you and you respond, it's everything you have. It's who you are. It's, "I'm going wherever you say, God. I'm going to give everything I have to you, God." I'm not saying you do that. I'm just telling you that's what God could say to you. He did that to me. I had to leave my family. My wife had to leave her family, and we had to go live in another country. And I got to be honest, I didn't like it. It wasn't like, "Woohoo, this is great." Communist countries stink. They do. They really do. But here's the deal. God loved you so much that you start to give. And you should stop worrying about the amount and start worrying about your heart and how much you love him back. Okay, we're almost done. I promise. We're almost done. It's all voluntary. So that's tithing. Here's the deal. I want you to understand that we give to the church. We give. We give not because the church says we have to give. We give because it's God's. We give because we love God. We're thankful to God. Number one. Number two, because God's men in charge of the church, the pastor, the workers, are worthy. When you hire a pastor, you give him money and whatever else because he serves God for you. He serves God, and you must be sure to give to your pastor. You must be sure to give for the work of the church. You must be sure. That includes the association. I'm not saying I want money. But when you give to the church, it helps the association so we plant churches. It helps the association so we have ministries. We have a lot of ministries. I'd love to tell you everything. We got all sorts of good stuff happening because you're a part of it. Because you give. Because you're a part of it. We get lots done. And people get to hear about Jesus. Oh, that's good news. And so in Luke 10:7, it says, stay in at the house, eating and drinking what they give you. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. The laborer is worthy of his wages. That is the pastor. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. Of double honor. And when I work with pastors overseas, I always help provide for those people he works with, and I give him double. Do not muzzle an ox while he's treading the grain. The worker deserves his wages. And Pastor Son did not talk to me about this service. I'm being honest. He didn't say anything to me. This is coming from Jeffrey, okay? Okay, in the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. I get my living by preaching the word of God, by helping churches, by working. That's what we do. And Pastor Son, he needs you to love him and to minister to him and bless him. That's what it is being a pastor. So in conclusion, tithing is a legal call to give God the first place. Tithing is a legal call. It's the legality. And I want to get away from tithing. Get away from legalism and Phariseeism. I want to get to this part where it is a call to put God as your first thought. It's a call to put yourself and your work under God. Because God created you for this very thing, to glorify him where you are, through having our priorities correct. Our priorities include giving and sacrifice, and that we consider others, like widows, orphans, like our pastor, like those in need and strangers. Isn't that interesting? So one of our main priorities is to cheerfully give to God for the work of the church. That is the mission of the church, and support its spiritual leaders. And I'm excited about this church. God is working through you to reach the world. You know that. And you can be part of that. We have a lot of things happening. Two things on Saturday, or on this Friday night, this upcoming Friday night, we have an exciting event. The vice president from International Mission Board is coming to First Baptist Church High Springs at 6 p.m. We're going to have lots of missions opportunities around. You can look in different missions things. Oh, I can be a part of this. I can join this mission opportunity. I can give to this. I can do this. And then we get to hear from the missionary who knows about missions. He's the vice president of the International Mission Board, whom you support. And on Thursday at 10 a.m., if there's someone from this church who can come to our association on 39th Avenue by Creekside Church, at 10 a.m. on this Thursday, we're going to show our new trailer. This trailer is so that you as a church can use it. It's got bounce houses. It's got a popcorn machine, a snow cone maker. It's got a cotton candy maker so that you can use it and people can come to your church. And they can say, oh, this is a nice place to come. This is a very interesting church. And you can tell them about Jesus. I call it the evangelism trailer. But we've got things in this trailer that you can be a part of. And you can use it because you are part of our association. It's your trailer too, but you need to know how to use it. So you have to come. But that, our main priority is to cheerfully give to God for the work of the church. That's a mission of the church to reach lostness and to support the spiritual leaders. Okay, takeaways. What did we talk about? Remember what we talked about at the beginning, the takeaways, what you're going to take away with you. Our proper response to God is to give him what is his. Number one. Number two, God loves a cheerful giver. So my rule is give until I'm not happy. Because God wants you to be happy and cheerful. And number three, a workman is worthy of his wages. Remember to bless your pastor. Bless him. It doesn't have to be just money, but he's worthy. He's worthy of the wages. And number four, tithing existed before the law of Moses. So stop worrying about the law. Stop saying 10%, because it's not 10%. And if you're a student and you have no money at all, are you supposed to give 10% of no money? Well, you can. You can if you feel God's calling you to. But don't feel that you have to. If 1 week you don't have 10%, that's okay. God loves you. He's not going to be angry that you didn't give 10%. He's a wonderful God. So, our proper response to God is to give him what is his. God loves a cheerful giver. A workman's worthy of his wages. Tithing existed before the law of Moses, so stop considering it a law. And then I have four questions. These are not the takeaways. These are the four questions, and then we're done. We're going to pray. But I hope God has been speaking to you during this time. What are you harboring or holding in your heart that is all yours? Okay? What are you taking in your heart and saying, this is mine and not God's? I'm not giving any to God. I'm not tithing on it. It's mine. I earned it, it's mine. If you have something like that, maybe it's a new car, maybe it's a house, maybe it's a spouse, a wife or a husband, maybe it's money, maybe it's a job, whatever it is, you need to give it back to God. That's the first one. Number two, do you give God what is his? Number three, don't give under compulsion. God isn't interested in your offering. Honestly, he doesn't care about your offering. He cares about your heart. He doesn't want your stuff because it's already his anyway. He wants your heart. Get it right. Number four, a workman is worthy of his wages. How are you doing taking care of your spiritual leader? Let's pray. God, we want to thank you today for taking care of us. We want to thank you today for getting us out of bed. We want to thank you today for giving us the people that are around us in this church. We want to thank you today for giving us the food that we need every day. We want to thank you today for our families. We want to thank you today for our jobs. We want to thank you today for our studies. We want to thank you today for our food and our livelihood and our water and our friends and our fellowship. God, we have so much to thank you for. It's just unending. It's all yours, and you have given us a short time to take care of your stuff. And we pray, God, that our hearts would be right, that our offerings would be yours in every way, in every shape, in every form. And that when we spend time together in Itchituckney, that, God, we are giving you yours. When we spend time with our families, we're giving back to you. When we give to the church, we're giving back to you. And God, you've called us to be people who are generous. And I pray, Lord, that we have become a little more generous today because we are so thankful for what you've given us. And God, we pray that this week we would be thinking of ways we can become more and more generous with your stuff. And we love you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.